Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Gronkowski is in the left slot. Brady in the shotgun. Green Ellis to his right. Snap to Brady. Play action fake. Steps up. Fires up the field. Wide open across the 30. 25 to the 20 on the right side of the 15. And inside the 15-yard line. All the way down and into the end zone. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hey there, and good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com, and thanks for hanging in. Johnny Rook had a little flight issue today, so he couldn't make it in, so... Anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed the PFW guys again. But here I am, live with you until 6 o'clock tonight right here on Patriots.com. Got a great show for you lined up today. A couple of special things, too. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. My guest coming up at the bottom of this hour will be Paul Kaharsky, who is the AFC South beat writer for ESPN. And he will join me at 4:30, and I'll tell you what, the AFC South has been like headline central the last few days. So lots of, not only to talk about with him with Indianapolis, but a few of the other teams as well, Houston, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Interesting division this year. Anyway, hope everybody's having a great Wednesday. Pretty nice autumn day out there. Not bad. We're going to be lucky. Last day of November, it's still like 58 degrees outside, breezy. We are lucky this month so far, knock on wood, knocking on my head, no snow, you know, no significant snow yet. Yeah, we had that in October. Anyway, give me a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETSHEPPARD. And we'll start looking ahead to Indianapolis. We're also going to definitely play Bill Belichick from earlier today. Very interesting. Started off a little boring, but really got... interesting at the end. I believe it was Karen Garrigan from the Herald who I was watching on TV when I asked the question. And it's just, I know people say you have to ask these questions, but you know what's going to happen when you pose a question like, how can you really judge your team after if you beat an 0-11 team or something to that effect? And we'll get the whole thing later on. And Bill just laid into her. And he knew it was coming. And Karen's a big girl. And I believe it was her. If it wasn't, I apologize. But I think it was her. But, you know, I give her credit for asking the question. Some other people probably wouldn't have. Because you know you're going to get lambasted. You know you're going to get lambasted. And that's what happened. And Tom Brady would, I mean, they do not want to hear about anything about 0-11 in the locker room. They don't want to hear about it. Belichick's preaching it all week. And a lot of what he said in his, answer to Karen, I mean, you know, I understand exactly where he's coming from, and I'm used to it because that's he's done it all the time. He does do that Lou Holtz thing where if you're doing, you're playing a real lousy team, but he you know, it's like he's playing Navy when Lou Holtz back in those days when Navy was terrible and he'd act like they're playing the national championship. But I understand in the NFL, I understand the philosophy of why, you know, great coaches do that kind of thing because you cannot let your team, your guard down for a minute in this league because you can be beat by anybody on any given Sunday if you are not alert. And I know the Colts are going through all the problems that they're going through, and, you know, the Patriots are, and the game's off the board now, I think, but they were 21-point favorite, probably going to be like a 25-point favorite come kickoff. They don't care about that stuff, nor should they. They care about going out and executing and playing well in a football game. And Tom Brady brought it up again today in the press conference, and we'll hear that from him as well. Something I say every single show, I've been saying it since I've been doing this for 2 years and saying it on EI when I was back there, it is hard to win a game in the NFL. And I don't know how many times I can say it. I was glad that Tom said it today. He brought it up as well. And somebody asked, well, why do you think it's so difficult for you to understand? And he basically said, because you don't play the game at that level. And he's absolutely right. But I sure as hell have watched enough over the years to understand not only how difficult it is to win a game, but been fortunate enough at times over the years to stay on the sideline, at least for parts of games, usually towards the end, and see that it is, and I wish all fans could have this perspective. because on TV you just don't get it because everybody's the same size. But it is amazing to me, and always will be, how in any football game at this level, guys even get up after a simple handoff. When you realize, when you see it at eye level and you see the contact that goes on and the hitting and a lot of stuff that doesn't get called goes on in that pile, it is unbelievable to me how some of these, how you get up after just every play. I mean, you can understand, and I don't care if it's 16-0 team playing an 0-16 team, you are going to get pummeled, pounded. Every play is, you know, like life and death for these guys. So you're going to play hard. And I know there are times when, you know, you have lapses against, you know, weaker teams. And certainly it's happened here. And it's happened to a lot of other teams. It happened with Pittsburgh the other night. Again, Sunday night against Kansas City, as I talked about. It happens to some other teams. But still, it is hard to win a game in the NFL. And when you start throwing out 0-11, and do I think the Patriots are going to whip Indianapolis? Yeah, I do. But, like I said, this is one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't games. I mean, we saw what happened when New Orleans played them earlier this year. They won 62-7. Now, if the Patriots win 62-7, they'll be called a-holes, they'll be called this, and they'll be called that. But Drew Brees and the Saints, you know, and I don't blame them. It's not, I could care less. I couldn't care less. It doesn't matter. The Colts' job is to stop the Patriots. And I didn't care if New Orleans scored 6 points, 62 points, or 662 points. I don't care. You know, I'm not going to be hypocritical that way. That's their fault that they score. That's their job. You know, even when we put subs in, what are they supposed to do? You know, not try hard. Some guys are fighting for their position to stay employed. So that doesn't bother me. So this week, you know, if they win 30-7, then you'll hear the part of people going, "Oh yeah, they struggled." If they win 62-7, they're jerks. So I guess a nice comfortable score for the majority of America would probably be something like 27-3. That would be acceptable. You probably want, and it may happen that way. Who knows? It may happen that way. I think the Patriots be able to run the ball a lot. I think you'll see. I actually think this might be one game where they actually run the ball more than they pass. Believe it or not, I think that's going to be the case when it's all said and done. But Bill's right. Belichick's right when he talks about they still have some very talented players on this team. And it still amazes me how, and this is why Caldwell must be, he just can't be a great coach, because there's no way in hell if Bill Belichick is coaching the Indianapolis Colts that that team is 0-11. No way. No way. You still got Reggie Wayne. You still got Dallas Clark. You still got Pierre Garçon. Yeah, you still got Adai, Donald Brown. On defense, you still got Freeney. You still have, you know, you got Mathis still. Well, I know I'm missing some. So, Batea. I mean, you still got some names on this team that can play. They've had a few close games, and they've had a few games that have been awful. More games have been awful. And I'm not going to sit here and try and sugarcoat their season. I'm saying I'm kind of amazed that even without Peyton Manning, this team can't win a game. And that just goes to show you what Bill did back in 2008. With Matt Castle, had virtually no experience, not even a lot of college experience, who came in and led this team to an 11-5 record in a near playoff berth, which would have been very interesting had they played Pittsburgh again in that game. The Patriots were playing really well last month of the season. But didn't happen that way. So I find it odd that no one does that comparison of Belichick in 2008 to Caldwell in 2011. It's horrible coaching by him. The horrible mistake he made initially by putting Juan Castillo to the defensive coordinator post. Guy was an offensive line coach for over a decade. You know, Larry Coyer is a fall guy, defensive coordinator the other day. And now you got Dan Orlovsky in at the quarterback who, you know, last time we played was 08 against Detroit, but it was 08 when Detroit was 0-16. So not a lot to really worry about there. But there are still some players on the Colts that are some talented players. They just can't seem to get it together. So bad spot for them. Anyway, we'll talk with Paul Kaharsky of ESPN. He covers the AFC South, the beat writer there. So lots to talk about. There is a funny thing. Before I get to the emails, again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. I just got this about a half hour ago. This is circling the internet. It'll probably be on the TV shows. You'll probably see it all over the place, I would imagine. I would think around New England coming up. And you really don't need to see the video. I mean, I have the video posted on my site. I think it's on Kevin's site as well. But it's a little boy. It seems to be about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old tops. I could be wrong, Kevin. You think four? I think 4 years, 3 or 4 years old tops. Obviously an Eagles fan watching the game with his dad, who's an Eagles fan. Although when I got, it's got to be. I mean, obviously they're both, the father's an Eagles fan and pass it down to the son, who is an Eagles fan. So this takes place late in the third quarter, early in the third quarter. The Patriots are already up 24-13, or is it more than that? I think it's 24-13, and they're ready to go in and score again. And this little kid, this little Eagles fan, throws a little nutty.
What?
Tom Brady, don't video me.
Why are you so mad at Tom Brady?
They hate him!
Well, I think Tom Brady's an idiot, too. He might throw a pick.
He never gives up me. He always gets a touchdown.
Why don't you like Tom Brady so much? Because he's mean?
No, I hate him.
Oh, Christopher. Don't get so upset.
And he's dirty and he's annoying.
Want to go give him a punch?
I don't want to.
Don't be so mad at Tom Brady.
I hate him, though. And he needs to be a toy. He's sucky.
Do you think that Tom Brady hurt the Eagles player?
The best part is when the father says, I think Tom Brady's going to throw a pick. The kid goes, no, he's not. He doesn't throw picks. He's going to throw a touchdown. Which he did, like 30 seconds later. That's not on it. Oh, my God. That is hysterical. But if you want to see, if you want to see it, it's on my Facebook page. And you can check it out, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. That is priceless. That is priceless. And by the way, and some of you guys, come on, take it easy with some of the comments. You know, geez, I'm talking about the kid going out playing in traffic. Come on. He's just a little baby. He's just a little kid. But some of these posts are just nasty. Some finally, like this kid, Jonathan says, yeah, this kid better get used to losing, being an Eagle fan. I have a very high bridge. He can beat it, kid. Now that's it, kids. Go play and try. I mean, just brutal. Come on, guy. Don't be hateful. God, this kid's funny. He goes, he's sucky. I'm trying to think if I was three, if I ever called a quarterback sucky. I might have, and I just didn't even know it. I probably hated Bob Greasy back then, but I was a little old. I never liked
sucky, sucky, sucky.
For this kid at three and a half, 4 years old to have such rage at Tom Brady. It would have been interesting to see, to film that kid for the whole game when they were up 10-0 until the Patriots were pounding them in the third quarter. But I'm telling you, the best part is when the father says, well, I think he's going to throw a pick. The kid goes, no, he's not. He doesn't throw picks. He's going to throw a touchdown. Oh, God, is that priceless. Absolutely priceless. Out of the mouth of babes, I guess, huh, as they say. Anyway, call me on the 8th Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, and webradiopatriots.com. Let's get to our first email of the day. Jesus, what is this? Gene, for God, this is a novel, man. It's a freaking novel you wrote me. All right, let's see. I have a story to tell you guys. All right, is this like something? This looks like a very serious story. So I'll get to this one after, Gene. This is all about helmets and concussions and. I appreciate the effort. I'll read it at some point. But right now, wanted to, again, check out some other emails. Here's Chad. Hey, Pete and Kev, actually about the Eagles kid, it seems to be a trend because there was a video posted on YouTube, but it was a 5-year-old Jets fan kid. And yes, I heard about that. I didn't see that yet, though. The kid said the exact same thing, and he crying about Brady being too good, but it's quite pathetic that the parents film him and make fun of him. Now, what's the issue with Price? Is he really not operational with Sanchez, operational with the playbook? And can you please explain how and why is Sanchez a fifth overall pick? Fifth overall picks are future legends, but the guy sucks. And why are the medias always backing him? Brett Favre, quote, God, he deals your blows that at sometimes you think you can't handle. And in your last year, there have been things that we thought we couldn't handle, but we doubled it up to this point. All right. Well, let's address a couple of points here that you made, Chad. What's up with Price? I don't know. And I heard Billy O'Brien. He had a conference call yesterday. You saw the transcript. I don't know what to tell you. He's just not getting the play. But I mean, they're trying to say all the right things and do all the nice. I mean, he has been, allegedly banged up. He hasn't played a couple times. He's had hamstring issues, but he's not getting it for whatever reason. What can I tell you? I don't see him practice every day, so I can't tell you. I can't tell you if he's catching balls in practice. He's being screamed at in practice, running the wrong routes. I don't know. But there's a reason. If they were ready to target him, he was ready to go. He'd be out there. So, the other part is, and can you explain to me how and why Sanchez is the fifth overall pick? Well, I mean, Chad, you can go back over the history of the NFL draft for decades and see guys who were top 10 picks, top overall picks who were busts. Patriots had one here, Kenny Sims, and I know he got hurt, but, there have been other ones. There have been other quarterbacks picked high. Jeff George picked high. He was ended up being a bust. A lot of others over the years, not just quarterbacks. A lot of number one picks. A lot of top 10 picks over the years. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot. Manny says, hey, Pete, this kid is a genius. Even at such a young age, he can spot greatness. I think that's going to be the general consensus. Because the kid realized Brady wasn't throwing a pick in that situation, was going to throw a touchdown. the injury report is out as well. Let me update you there. Sebastian Vollmer, the only one who did not participate today, as most of you know already, from some of the earlier reports on the various websites. But everybody else here was limited. These are all limited. Chung, Connolly, Edelman, Fletcher, Guyton, Nadeabo, Light, McCourty, Molden, Ocho, Price, Slater, Spikes, and Wendell. All limited. Brian Waters, full participation. Nothing for the Colts yet. Doesn't really matter. Or as Tom said earlier today, he wishes Freeney was out today, but that's not gonna be the case. Anyway, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Again, if you want to see the little Eagles kid, Christopher, go off on Tom Brady, it's quite funny. Just don't be mean with the comments, guys. It's a little kid, I'm not gonna delete any of your comments because I try not to censor stuff on Facebook unless it really gets stupidly overly personal. But, let's have so tiny bit of, couth, as they say, when posting some of these things. Don't talk about a kid playing in the street or any of that stuff. Anyway, though the Patriots taking, and we will hear from Bill Belichick later on because the guys didn't play that earlier, right, Kev? They didn't play it early. We're definitely going to hear from Bill Belichick later today, and it does get very interesting. And you knew it was because anytime you bring up to coaches like Bill Belichick about playing crappy teams, they will twist it and turn it around and throw it back in your face, and rightly so. And when you hear the answer, you'll understand why. And at the end, he gave the old, what games are you watching? Which is what I like to say to some of these people sometimes, too. But I understand why the question was asked. I just think sometimes if you present a question to Bill Belichick about can you really learn anything from your team, meaning the Patriots, by playing an 0-11 team, and he will destroy you. Absolutely destroy you. You don't think he gets animated? When you hear this, you'll see he gets animated, agitated, exasperated. contaminated. I don't know. By the way, Bill's still battling pretty bad cold, it seems, too. And so, but you just knew, and like I said, I think it was Karen, who's a great reporter for the Herald, and she's a good friend. She's very good, but, and I give her credit for asking the question. I'm just not sure the way to phrase it was, are you going to learn anything from it? Because Bill's going to tell you, no matter who they play, anywhere, anytime, any place, if Bill Belichick has a group of men on a football field, he will always tell you he is learning something. It doesn't matter who they're playing. So I think that is what really set him off, was the way the question was phrased, as far as, can you really learn anything about your team, meaning the Patriots, by playing an 0-11 team? Yikes. And I heard it when she said it. I was watching it at home at noontime on Comcast, and I went, oh my God, here we go. And Tom made sure as well. And I'm sure Tom is drilling it in. Brady's drilling it into everybody's head this week, especially some of the younger guys. Do not take this game for granted. Do not take it like you're just going to step out on the football field and win. Because we all know. Yeah, and it can happen on any given Sunday. I'm not saying it's going to by any stretch of the imagination. So I think this team is way too disciplined for that. But, look, you saw the Pittsburgh Steelers. You saw Kansas City hang in with the Steelers for an entire game. Maybe even might have taken the lead. But couldn't get over that last little hump. Lost 13-9 with Tyler Palco throwing three interceptions. So you cannot take anybody for granted at all. It can happen if you let your guard down. I don't think this team will. I don't think this team will. So we'll see. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with AFC South beat writer for ESPN, Paul Kaharski, coming up. Take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll connect with Paul. Lots to talk about with him, not only about the Colts, man. He's had a freaking busy week in that division. Back with Paul Kaharski, ESPN, coming up here on the Pete Shepherd Show at patriots.com. Back after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y.
Ooh, right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Hey, welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock tonight right here on Patriots.com. Again, doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And joining us right now, ESPN AFC South insider Paul Kaharski. And man, oh man, Paul, let's see. Now, did anybody get fired? Did a team get sold? Did a running back come back to life? I mean, what a busy week in your division this week.
That's
already. It's only Wednesday.
By comparison, yeah. For a in-season Tuesday, I think it's pretty unprecedented for that much to go on, but we'll take it.
Well, let's start with the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm sure if you didn't hear Bill Belichick's press conference today, I imagine you did. They are taking this game very, very, very seriously, and the worst thing that happened today is when a particular reporter asked Bill, can you really learn anything about your team by playing an 0-11 team, and for him, went ballistic.
Yeah, I mean, I read it, so I didn't hear the tone. Yeah. I could only imagine. Obviously, dealing with Belichick, you have to frame your questions and anticipate the reactions and all of that. But seemed a little overwrought to me. I mean, he's obligated to say that they're good and that it's a test and all of that, and we know better. I mean, there's, you know, obviously anything can happen, but you know, I think the spread is something like 21 points, which is, yeah, you know, amongst the biggest of all time. And this is a giant mismatch. you know, the Colts are a bad team with a terrible quarterback situation and a terrible secondary. And, you know, New Orleans put 62 points up on them. I think there are people out there who believe that if Belichick wanted to rub their noses in it, he could challenge that.
Well, before we get to this team, let me just ask you real quick about Peyton Manning, because I know today he was going for more scans and to see if a fusion of his neck vertebrae will that kind of a thing in the next rehab step. Do you know anything that's happened so far with Peyton?
No, I think he'll talk tomorrow. He did talk on Sunday related to Marvin Harrison getting his name in the Colts Ring of Honor, and kind of indicated that he'd check in with the media this week after the checkup. And my immediate reaction to that is, if he was acknowledging that in the least, that he's anticipating good news, because he wouldn't be advertising that he was going to pop in to talk on Thursday if he thought he was going to have something bad to talk about and wouldn't be eager to spread bad news. But also, he likes to reset the conversation when he can, and, you know, if he feels it's going too negative and there's too much talk about the potential for him to be traded or let go and for the Colts to move a different direction, he'd certainly get in front of people and say some things to sway that conversation. So if you're not sure exactly what you're going to get, it's certainly, I don't want to say he's behind schedule, because I don't think there's a schedule for things fusing, but it hadn't fused last the conversation was about his conversations with doctors. And so I think he certainly is eager for better news to share.
Are you surprised, despite the fact that Peyton Manning went down and obviously a tremendous loss, and we know what it was like around here when Brady went down, and we know what Belichick had to go through with Matt Cassel, who had basically no college experience, or very little, and not a lot of pro experience, but somehow they found a way to go at 11-5. Why? And there's still some talented players on this Indianapolis Colts team. That's one thing with Bill I absolutely agree with. But why is it that Jim Caldwell could not find any way to win any of these games? It's a strictly quarterback, and I know the secondary's banged up and it's not been good all year, but my goodness, no one, I mean, Peyton Manning or no Peyton Manning, the Colts going 0-11, it's almost unheard of.
Well, he is that valuable. I mean, it goes to show that they are that built around him, and he covered up an awful lot. You know, they certainly are constructed in a different way than the Patriots in their ability to be able to withstand this. And I think, a lot of that goes with the ability to play from ahead, which helps Mathis and Freeney. They're never playing from ahead anymore. And on and on. But, you know, they had some chances early. They lost to Pittsburgh 23-20, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Sunday night.
You know, Tampa, they had a chance to win that game. And
Tampa Bay, they were close. Kansas City, they were close. Those were their chances, you know. Their chances aren't coming now at New England, at Baltimore. And I wouldn't think Tennessee, Houston, you know, two teams that are the contenders for playoff spots out of this division. They finish at Jacksonville, which is a bad situation. But quite frankly, the Jaguars have more talent than they do because they're pretty good on defense. So 0-16 is a definite possibility. Jim Caldwell bears, a share of it, but they just weren't ready. And as miserable as it's been, and as many complaints as you can have, I think you guys are covering one of the only teams in the league that wouldn't take the trade-off here. If you want 12 playoff years with a healthy Peyton Manning in exchange for one complete dud, that might, quite frankly, help you get another 12 years with Andrew Luck. how many teams in the league don't take that deal? Patriots, Packers, Pittsburgh maybe? Who else?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Now that you brought up Andrew Luck, let's talk about that. How much real friction is existing there? Peyton Manning, ear to Polian and saying, no, I'm going to be the guy here I got a few years left, but Polian, they can't think that way because the way this team is constructed now, I think a lot of it's Bill's fault, to be honest with you, that they're in the shape they're in now because they don't have the depth that they probably could have had if he did some things differently. So how much is this Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck friction thing? What's going to happen here, do you think? How do you see it playing out?
Well, I don't know that it matters, really. Certainly you want Manning to be happy, and he's got a strong voice in the organization and everything, but, even if he gets a clean bill of health, you have to judge him to be a lot closer to being one hit away from the end than he's ever been before, considering what's gone on inside his neck. And so the fact of the matter is they're obligated to get ready for the future. I think Bill Polian's really passing the torch to his son Chris, who's the GM now. And if you have an opportunity to take Andrew Luck number one overall, I think in many ways you're saying, I had some all-time quarterbacks in Jim Kelly and in Peyton Manning, and here's one for you to go make your legacy with going forward. Now, I think the Colts have been kind of stubborn on some personnel stuff, on some system stuff over the years, but this can kind of dig them out or put them on track to be the same kind of team that they've been for a lot of years here. Personally, I would have both of them on my roster this next year and sort it out from there. Unless somebody came and bowled me over with a trade offer, and I could see, maybe Denver or certainly Miami, which craves a star quarterback, doing something like that. And as awkward and unnatural as it would be, and as sudden as this all is, a year removed from a playoff berth and everything being fine, maybe it goes in that direction. It's hard to know. The Polians aren't, big secret share.
Well, and I agree with you 100% about it. What's going to be interesting is that, like you said, about Peyton being, regardless if he's declared 100% healthy to play, he'll never be 100% healthy. He'll always be one hit away. What I hope, because Peyton, I respect him so much, and because I have such little respect for Brett Favre at the end, I would hate to see a Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck situation happen to what Favre and Rodgers happened. I don't anticipate that happening in Indianapolis, but, you never know with the egos that are involved sometimes.
Yeah, well, I Peyton Manning's very conscious of image, obviously, and he would never, I don't think.
No, I agree.
Be like Brett Favre was to Aaron Rodgers, to Andrew Luck. He might not like the situation. He might grumble about it privately. But publicly and on the field, he would do what veterans around the league do. And part of the job of a veteran player in the NFL is to prepare the guy who's ultimately going to put you out of work. And he doesn't have to coach him hands-on or anything like that. All around the league, the expectation is if you do your job the way that you do your job, you set an example for the guy, the next guy, to do it well. And so, he wouldn't have to do anything special for Andrew Luck outside of let him watch.
Talk about a little bit, Juan Castillo early in the season, defensive coordinator goes to offensive line. They fire Larry Coyer. Those couple of moves, obviously weeks apart, but you're just surprised how the entire season has been handled by the Colts coaches and management here, especially this late in the season.
Polian came out of the radio show the other day and said, any change is good change. Well, after 11 losses, all of a sudden you decided that and didn't see that, before your bye week or after, the 62 points to New Orleans. It just seems like operating in slow motion. And Jim Caldwell has behaved this year as if the next best thing to winning a game is being able to say that you've been steady. Steady isn't good when everything's going bad. When everything's going great, like it always has with the Colts, and you're winning 12 games a year, steady's wonderful. That's what you want. But when things go to hell, you don't want steady. Steady doesn't do you any good. Hey, he's selling that Curtis Painter got incrementally better last game. at that pace, Curtis Painter will be ready to be an NFL quarterback in 2029 if he keeps improving.
Hey, he's no Tebow. Oh, yeah, please, don't get me started on that.
I just don't understand the way they've approached that steadiness, and it's about time for them to make some change, and if it's for change's sake, so be it.
Well, let's talk about a couple other teams in the division. Let's start with, Jacksonville again. Late in the, two-thirds of the way through the season, week 11 or week 13, but surprise what went down in Jacksonville the last couple of days.
Certainly the sale of the team comes as a surprise, though not as big as some national folks are making it. Wayne Weaver said for a while, he's looking for exit strategy with somebody that would keep the team in town, and he feels comfortable with the pledge that he's gotten from Mr. Tan that his intention is to do so. And you might question that long term.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Well, seriously, how how the hell can you keep that team in that city? Really, I mean, I don't. I've been there. I went to the Super Bowl, and very nice people. I get it. I mean, I understand why they had to get the Super Bowl there because Tagliabue made that promise to them. I understand it completely. But I gotta tell you, Paul, they gotta go. They gotta get the hell out of there. They have
well,
to.
Well, I'm not as on board with that as you are, but obviously I'm closer to it. The it's not big enough. I'd give you that. But they take grief, for example, over the tarps. The tarps leave that stadium still bigger than Soldier Field, and I think it's unreasonable to expect that one of every four people in Jacksonville should go to the game. We're not expecting that out of any other market. So the tarps have been a public relations nightmare that's misperceived. But here's my thing about them moving to Los Angeles. Someone's going to beat them there. The Vikings don't have a place to play next season. The Chargers, don't have a very solid footing in San Diego anymore, and it would only be a few hours, and they could maintain some of their fan base. Jaguars have a tough lease to get out of. You have to show before 2029 that you've lost money 3 years in a row, and no matter how bad an organization you are, it's hard to lose money three mm-hmm. years in a row in the NFL.
Yep.
And so, I don't see them leaving quickly. The league probably made a mistake going there in the first place. But they need to find a way to make it work, and I think it can work with a winning team, and I think it has. And I think if this new owner, goes out and makes a splash, spending in a way that Wayne Weaver hasn't been able to, he could revitalize the market at least for a while.
You think he'll make a splash by trying to go after a high-profile coach for big bucks like a Bill Cowher?
Well, the thing is, I would presume Bill Cowher wants either personnel power or to bring his personnel guy with him, and they just re-sign their general manager, Gene Smith, for 3 years. So, more likely Jay Gruden than John Gruden, mm-hmm. I think. It could take a stab at Jeff Fisher, but I'm picturing Jeff Fisher winding up replacing North Turner, not Jack Del Rio.
Moving on, let's stay in your division for a second here. And has Chris Johnson finally snapped back to life here? I know a lot of my fantasy football callers are finally, finally got what they wanted last week. But can you explain the season that this guy is having, especially after signing that huge contract? What has happened?
I can't. The blocking's been insufficient. The new offensive coordinator, Chris Palmer's on the hook for some of it. But certainly Chris Johnson has not run the way he's run in the past. There have been times where he's hit behind the line of scrimmage where he's balled up. And I think, to a degree, he's a guy that felt like he made it with the contract. And, you hope guys get past that. But I think in terms of them relying on him this season to do what he did last week, I think that's going to be the exception, not the rule, and that they're going to wind up being a passing team more often than not. And Matt Hasselbeck's up for it. If only Kenny Britt hadn't gotten hurt, they might have been in good shape, but their weaponry is just really insufficient. Their defense is inconsistent. They're in a tough spot, and Johnson really has not handled the money element well, has not handled the lack of success element well, and it'll be curious to see how they handle him through an off season, hoping for him to return to form by opening day next year, which really I think is what you reduce to at this point. You hope to get something big out of them, but you can't count on it.
And I think if the playoffs start today now, I think Houston, I mean, the Patriots and Houston and, are 8-3, and I think Houston actually would get the number one seed right now, believe it or not. Jake Delhomme at quarterback. How's this going to work out?
I mean, well, he's not going to play.
No, well, not this week.
And
but
if he has to play, they're obviously in huge trouble. T.J. Yates. I know people don't know who he is. He's a fifth-round draft pick who they liked a lot because he came through UNC doing a lot of the same kind of things that they do with the Texans. I think next year he would have been in line to back up Matt Schaub, so it's a bit accelerated. But, then he doesn't have to be Andy Dalton or Cam Newton for this team to still win the division. We just talked about the Titans' mm-hmm. troubles, and they're 2.5 games
yeah.
back, really. So they're not going to be under hot pursuit. Everybody's presuming, well, they'll get to the playoffs, but they won't win there. And I understand that against Pittsburgh's defense or Baltimore's defense, a rookie quarterback's going to have trouble. But if the kid plays well, and they match up with New England, it's not New England's defense that's going to cause them problem, necessarily anyway. Certainly I wouldn't want to go against Bill Belichick's scheme and against a rookie quarterback, but I don't think it's beyond the possibilities of the world that they could do something based on their defense and their run game. So it's disappointing, though, because it was looking like they were a team that could make a run to the AFC Championship or even to the Super Bowl with Schaub in place. And we know how infrequent a team that loses its starting quarterback is capable of doing such a thing.
And not only the starting quarterback, and then Liner was in there for 10 seconds, and he's done. I'd say it was unbelievable to watch. It's been a crazy year as far as the quarterbacks.
Mario Williams, their best defensive player for the season. Mm-hmm. Andre Johnson missed 6 games. Arian Foster missed 2 games. I mean, you go take the best offensive player, the best defensive player, and the quarterback off any team in the league, and what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a credit to them. Paul, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. I really appreciate it. Great stuff, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot. That is Paul Kaharsky, who covers the AFC South for ESPN. He is their insider. Great stuff. He has been a busy man with that division over the last few weeks. I respectfully will disagree about Yates coming in here in a playoff game. And again, on any given Sunday, yes, but I would seriously doubt the Houston Texans coming into Foxborough in a playoff game and being able to win with Yates at quarterback. But, hey, any given Sunday. And it's looking like he's going to have 5 more weeks to get better. So who knows? Who knows what can happen in this crazy, crazy NFL season. But thanks to Paul. Really good stuff. And I don't think he's giving the one thing I don't think is I think Bill Polian deserves a lot of criticism for the way the Indianapolis Colts have been constructed here. And really, I will agree with Paul when he says, they relied so much on Peyton Manning that once he went down, it just all was a domino effect. It just all collapsed and crumbled. And I'm sorry. I still think a lot of it has to do with coaching. And I don't care who's a quarterback. I get it. I understand. But you cannot tell me, and I will not believe it, that if Bill Belichick were coaching that team the way they are, that they wouldn't have won at least 6 or 7 games. Somehow, some way, he would have found a way to win. I think a lot of it's coaching, and I think Jim Caldwell is getting a free pass for a lot of people. He should be fired. He's the one that should have got fired. They're going to fire Del Rio. You're going to be fire Caldwell. And I think and Polian deserves a lot of heat, too, for the way he constructed this team to not having the depth that they should have had, years ago, which a lot of people were talking about. But because they were winning, as Paul was saying, because they were winning, they were able to overcome a lot of the criticisms. But my goodness, 0-11? I mean, 0-11, you still have Reggie Wayne, you still have Pierre Garçon, you still have Dallas Clark, you still have Joseph Addai, Donald Brown. All right, I know the quarterback situation's up and on, but you should be able to win some games. I know the secondary isn't that good, but you still got some pretty good defensive players out there, and Freeney, Mathis, Bethea, I mean, you got some pretty decent players out there that can make plays for you. So, I don't know. See, it seems to me like, that Caldwell's getting a much, and he might indeed get fired at the end of the season. I don't know. I'd fire him. I mean, I'm sure Colts fans now are like blessing in disguise, and they should want Andrew Luck on that team. They should want him to be drafted next year, and you should want Peyton Manning there with him. It's Peyton Manning for the rest of his career, even if he's been able, and we don't even know, even if he's able to come back and play, will always be one hit away from career ending. So you want Andrew Luck on the team. You want Peyton to tutor him a little bit. And, what better quarterback coach can you get? Except for Brady, than Peyton Manning out there with him to mentor the young cherub from Stanford. So we'll see. Gina Daytona says, hey, Pete and Kevin, why don't the Patriots cut Taylor Price and free up a roster spot? We are not doing him any favors standing on the sideline and not using him. I just do not see the purpose of keeping him. Why not just cut him? Let us and him go on with our lives. I'm not sure I'm ready to go that far yet. I'm going to go on with my life whether Taylor Price plays or not. I'm not sure about Kevin, but I know I will. Kevin says he'll go on with his life, yeah. I'm still recovering from Thanksgiving from a mental standpoint. And it's so funny. Yeah. It's really taken me a week. It's so funny. When you're brown, you don't see a lot of family members a lot. As much as you'd like. My parents live about an hour and 50 minutes away, and, you know, but it is so funny. It isn't amazing how, as you get older and your parents get older, that they become the children and you become the grown-up? Is it me? It is so funny. It really is, and it's just, you know, they still think they know.
I was falling.
I know.
And I can't get up.
I love them to death. They're the greatest people in the world. But it is just, it is, some of the conversations are just absolutely, how should one say, have an interesting dynamic. That would be nice. Anyway, but again, anyway, we'll have another big family party in Christmas. Can't wait for that. Anyway. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio at patriots.com, and Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside the Gillette Stadium. Once again, if you want to see the kid, the Philadelphia Eagles little boy, he's 3 or 4 years old, and he's an Eagles fan watching the game with his father, and he just absolutely wigs out against Tom Brady. And it is very, very funny. So we'll play. We'll play it again after the 5 o'clock hour. But I have it on my website, on my Facebook page as well. If you want to check that out, very, 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 very funny. So again, looking ahead this week, we're also going to have Bill Belichick next hour as well, and Tom Brady, because I definitely want you to hear what they had to say and your thoughts as well. I mean, as far as I mean, even when Peyton Manning, what do you guys think when Peyton Manning went down? Did you think the Colts would be 0-11 at this time? I didn't. And I didn't know what kind of coach Jim Caldwell was, really, to be honest with you. But as I've always said, for many situations, and not just football, but all sports, you really find out the character of what team, what kind of team you have character-wise when things go lousy, not when things are good. And we're really finding out the type of character the Indianapolis Colts organization is when things go really, really south. No pun intended, AFC South. But what does that tell you? And I'm going to keep drilling. I'm going to keep saying it. I don't care. There's no way Bill Belichick is coaching the Colts that team is 0-11. No way. There's still too much talent there to be 0-11. And Jim Caldwell just seems to get a free pass. I mean, I know it's, you know, it's just, oh, Peyton went down. I mean, it's much more serious than that. I think it's Polian's fault with not the depth that should have been on this team, the money that they spent unnecessarily in a lot of places over the years, instead of building for depth like the Patriots have. And the Steelers have, in a lot of ways, over the years. You know, those two teams have really done it the right way. They have been the most consistent so far. Now, Green Bay not there yet, because it's only been a couple of years for them. But, I'd have to see the salary cap thing. But I'm sure they're headed in the right direction also. But over the last 10, 12 years, it's been the Patriots and Steelers who have really done the best of building teams on a year-to-year basis while providing, you know, championship-style teams while still keeping up depth-wise. And I know the Patriots are going through some problems this year, obviously, in with their secondary because of injuries. They're down to fifth and sixth stringers in some cases, practice squad guys. But still, they're the number two seed right now. And Indianapolis is 0-11? Wow. Wow. So this is what happens when a team built strictly around, and this is the difference between the Patriots and the Colts. Strictly around, you know, Peyton Manning, he goes down and the team entirely loses it, for the most part, loses it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You can say what you want about the offense. Somebody explain to me how the defense has gotten so cruddy too. And like Paul was saying, probably a lot of it has to do with the Indianapolis offense giving teams leads, big leads. But thank God that didn't happen here in 08. Thank God that didn't happen here. And it's just too bad in 08 at the end of the season. The Patriots won, what, 4 or 5 or 5 out of the last 6, and they were really playing well. And they would have probably had to play, I think they would have had to play Pittsburgh again in the first round of the playoffs. And Pittsburgh is one team that came in here that year and really beat up Castle badly. It was a rainy, crappy day here. And that was probably his worst game. And I don't think he lost a game after that. I think he won the next 5 after that. Yeah, it was just unfortunate that the Jets couldn't beat Miami in that stupid game with Favre threw all those stupid interceptions. He acted like a jackass on the field. Because that would have been interesting to see what Matt Castle would have done with playing with extreme confidence going into that playoff game. Would have been interesting. Not sure they would have won, but it would have been, it definitely would have been closer than that regular season game against the Steelers. I promise you that, but we shall never know. Anyway, quick break. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Pete Shepard Show. We're back for hour number two. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. We'll hear from Tom Brady. We'll hear from the little kid from Philadelphia again as well. Or ripping Tom Brady. All coming up here on patriots.com.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So I think, you guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Right, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun. With free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Everybody. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Back second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, or of course you can Facebook me as well. And we'll get to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in just a second here. We'll also hear the little Eagle kid again go off on Tom Brady. Now, I didn't see the one last week, Kevin. They said somebody went off, a little kid went off on the Jets during the Patriots game, or a couple weeks ago. I didn't see that.
No, I haven't heard about that one.
And then somebody said it's the same kid, but somebody else said it's not the same kid and that it might be, but it just doesn't look fake to me. It's tough to get a 3.5-year-old, 4-year-old kid to have this kind of reaction. It seemed pretty genuine, I gotta tell you. Let's see. Couple of, Facebook messages. Lucio says, people like to talk about sexy wins and about how, and wins well. How about our sexy record? Last time I checked, a win is a win. While most media people play it off, the Patriots are still the team to beat. Do you really think any team goes against New England licking their chops because of our underestimated defense? Because that what is underestimated? Of course not. They know Bill has something special planned for them. And oh, and one more thing. I love that comment about not getting caught up in the football math. That is absolute garbage. Keep it going, Pete. Thanks. Jake has a really cool post. Pete, my favorite stat is defense yards per points. The top five teams are in order: San Francisco, Patriots, Green Bay, Miami, and Tennessee with a combined record of 37-18. The bottom five teams, Buffalo, San Diego, Minnesota, Carolina, and Indy, and they have a combined record of 14-41. That is a stat I use to measure defense and team success. That's great. Defensive yards per points. That's very interesting. That's kind of a sabermetric type of thing. I like that. I can do the one stat I refuse to judge any team on in any way, shape, or form, for the most part, is net yardage. Biggest garbage stat in the history of sports is net yardage in the NFL. Waste your time putting up posts and
blogs about it being the worst defense based on solely that statistic. It's something the NFL should reconsider when they're judging and ranking defenses, or how you rank defenses and offenses. Let's see. Gene says, "Hi, Pete and Kevin. Last week, my wife and I settled in to watch the scheduled Patriots game. And what happens? Surprise, surprise! Due to Tebow mania here in Florida, we're going to show Denver versus San Diego. My wife was pissed. I said to her, 'Better get used to it. Tebow will be overriding all local stuff.' Well, it's probably because he went to the University of Florida. That's the reason. You know that. That's unfortunate. Because why would you want to see a guy play so boring for 58 minutes and watch San Diego play even worse?" Don't worry. Broncos aren't going far. They'll get there. It's just a matter of time. He's going to play a good team. When he has to come from behind, when the Patriots put up 24 points at halftime and he has to throw every down to get them back in, and let's see what he does then. And it will happen. There's no doubt in my mind. Anyway, Kev, can we play we're going to give you a little sample, little kid again before we get to Bill Belichick. And just in case you missed it, this is, again, a kid about 3.5, 4 years old with his dad. Obvious Eagles fans watching the Patriots game last week. This is early in the third quarter. Patriots are up by 11, I think, and they're ready to go in and score again. And here's what happens. This young Christopher.
What?
Tom Brady, Tom Brady will help me.
Why are you so mad at Tom Brady?
They hate me.
Well, I think Tom Brady's an idiot, too. He might throw a pick.
Call him an idiot.
He's never going to throw a pick. He's always going to get touchdowns.
Why don't you like Tom Brady so much? Because he's mean?
No, I hate him.
Oh, Christopher. Don't get so upset.
And it's Tom Brady over there.
Well, go give him a punch.
That's good follow advice.
Oh, want to.
Don't be so mad at Tom Brady.
I hate him, though. And he hated him for his whole life.
I hate him his whole life.
He's sucky.
Do you think that Tom Brady hurt the Eagles player?
I told you the best part is when halfway through it, the guy says, well, Tom Brady will throw a pick. The kid goes, no, he's not. He doesn't throw picks. He's going to throw a touchdown. I can't get enough of it. I cannot get enough of it. Too funny. Oh, too funny. Some of your posts underneath are funny as well. I'm not going to read some. Some are really nasty. It's only a little kid. Oh, good God. Anyway, we'll get back to your phone calls and your emails coming up in just a few minutes, believe me. But in case you missed it early today, I got to let you hear Bill Belichick and his press conference. It is a very, very interesting one. So here's the coach.
See if I can hold it together a little bit better than Monday. Okay, well, feel like we're back in the division again. Get ready for the Colts. A lot of familiar faces, and we never really worry about a team's record. We just worry about trying to get ready to play them and the matchup that we have on Sunday, and that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter what anybody's record is. It just matters how the two teams play and compete on Sunday afternoon. So that's really what this week's about for us. The Colts have been competitive, been in just about every game. Defensively, a lot of the same cast of characters there with Mathis and Freeney up front. We've got some young linebackers that have been very productive. Angers had a big year for him. He's already over 100 tackles. Buffet, Powers in the secondary. Guys you got to really watch out for. Offensively, of course, the receivers are very good. They've all been productive. Garcon, Colley, and obviously Reggie Wayne. The backs have been productive. They got a lot of plays out of all those guys. Brown, Carter, and of course Adai. This is the interestingly, this is the Colts' most productive rushing season in a decade. So they've done a good job on that, and their offensive line is, they've got all those guys back now other than, the left guard. They've been in a little bit of a juggle there with what's-his-face going out last week. Pites, and then the kid from Arizona State. But anyway, the rest of them are all there. So, you know, Linkenbach and Diem and Saturday and Costanzo. And so they've had, you know, a lot of continuity in their offensive line, you know, throughout most of the course of the year. You know, they're not one left guard position. So, you know, we've got a lot of the same guys. And you know, I think that even though they made a couple changes this week, I'm sure they made them for reasons that they felt would make them better. And, you know, we've got to be ready for both quarterbacks and defensively. You know, they pretty much do what they've liked to do for the last decade as far as their, you know, their aggressive front and stunting and all the quickness that they have up front and playing a lot of zone coverage, mixing in some man, a little bit of pressure and all that. So, I mean, we still have to be ready for all those things, you know, regardless of, you know, with the new coordinator or not. So that's what it looks like.
Without Peyton in there, are they still... Does the offense still look the same? I mean, besides from the... Do they still call
identical. It? Yeah. Yep. It's their offense. Mm-hmm. No huddle. Yeah, go to fast pace. It's hard to substitute. You've got to be ready to play defensively with whoever you have on the field. You have to be ready to play first, second, and third down with them. You can't count on getting anybody in or getting anybody out. Or if you put a group in on third down and they convert, then you can't count on getting another group back in on first down. So you have to be ready to, you know, play consecutive plays. And, you know, they, Painter and Orlovsky, both of them, whoever's been in there, they've both done a good job of changing plays, taking advantage of looks. They've hit some big plays. They hit, you know, a couple long passes against Tampa on audibles. They hit another one on Carolina last week. So, you know, they do a lot of the same things, same thing in the running game. They've done a good job checking the runs against overloaded looks or light fronts and Carter and Adai and you know, Brown. I mean, you know, rip off a lot of good runs in that off tackle, you know, their zone play. Done a good job matching that up too, so I don't see any change there at all, no.
How much do you know about Mike Murphy as a coach?
Yeah, not a lot. But I mean, you know, he's been there for a long time in that system, so you know, certainly unfortunately been a part of a couple of those kind of, you know, changes. I mean, you only got a couple days, you can't put in a whole new defense. So and really what they're doing, I think they probably feel like we just need to do it a little bit better, because there are, you know, they have a lot of good players. They have, you know, they got a lot of young players and they got a lot of good players, and you know, I'm sure they feel like if they can just keep doing the things they're doing a little bit better, that they'll be all right. And they really are. I mean, they've been in every game, other, you know, I mean, a couple, but New Orleans game obviously, but for me, the most part, they're, you know, they're battling toe to toe, you know, in the middle of the fourth quarter or down to the last, you know, last week. I mean, they got a, you know, tip pass in the end zone or they beat Carolina. So, you know, I they're very competitive.
You often make the distinction between sacks and pressures, and the numbers don't always equate. The numbers have been up in the sacks in the last month, but how would you describe your pass rush over the season in terms of how it's been consistently and or improved?
You know, we've had our moments. You know, at times it's good, at other times it's... So, you know, it could be more consistent all the way across the board, outside, inside, games. But it all ties into team defense. So, if, you know, there's times where we've had the receiver cover, force the quarterback to hold the ball, that's helped the pass rush. There's times where, you know, we haven't had a good pass rush, we've had the receivers covered, they've hit passes. There have been times where we've had a good pass rush, we haven't had good coverage, and they come open too soon, and the rush can't get there. So, you know, we just got to do a better job of, you know, having all that meshed together. Of course, the offense changes it by different tempos of their pattern, you know, bootlegs and rollouts and dropbacks and three-step drops and shotgun and all that. So it's not always the same. So, you know, part of that's, you know, recognition and being able to match the patterns at the right time coverage-wise, and also, you know, from pass rush standpoint, kind of knowing when it's a quick throw, when it's a little bit longer throw, like on play action, sometimes a longer yardage, those kind of things, and you know, use your pass rush game plan or individual moves accordingly.
Even though they're separated by the, you know, opposite ends of the line, it seems like there's been a lot of plays that Anderson and Carter have gotten there together. Can those two defensive ends play off each other? Can there be
They absolutely do play off each other. Yeah, they do, and Rob too. I think all three of those guys work well together, you know, of having a coordination of, you know, just how the whole you know, how the whole rush should fit together. I mean, you know, you really don't want both ends up the field past the quarterback, because then when the quarterback steps up, you just have two linemen that now have to really defend, you know, basically five gaps, and it's impossible. So, you know, you need some kind of coordination between the ends of, you know, coming up and back or up and under or in conjunction with linemen, you know, inside with linemen outside. Or, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but however you do it, you know, it needs to be coordinated. And sometimes you plan for it to be one way, and then you get a certain protection that really doesn't allow that. Like, you want to come inside, but the line slides into that and prevents you from coming in there. Then, you know, you have to make some kind of adjustment, you know, things like that. So, but I think those guys have done a good job, though, of coordinating their rushes and also at times working off each other based on where one guy is and the other guy, you know, compensates, which is really what you want to do, because the quarterback isn't going to run into one guy, so if he steps away from one, he could, you know, hopefully step into the other one.
So can you talk about what went into the Philip Adams move and if you filled the spot yet?
We haven't filled it. We'll announce it. We'll announce that roster move later on. Yeah, we felt like that. We need to make a roster move, and so we had to create a spot there.
Did the play of Julian at defensive back the last couple of games influence the decision to release Adams?
I would say not really. Not really.
Can you talk about Edelman and how he sort of became a two-way player, and if this reminds you any much of what Troy Brown has done in the past and being a two-way player?
I mean, there's obviously a similarity between, you know, two guys that played in a slot and, you know, moved to the other side of the ball. But, you know, we've been working with Julian for, it's been several weeks. Post-practice one-on-ones, mixing him in on some scout team work, mixing him in on some defensive work, some things on post-practice, had a few snaps in games, had a lot more snaps in individual practice and also in our team practice sessions. So, you know, just obviously don't have a lot of numbers there, and he's done a great job of trying to step in and learn what we're doing and try to do it to a competitive level. And he's definitely done that. You know, he's a smart guy, and he does have a little bit of an instinctiveness and also a set of skills that are, you know, conducive to both spots. I mean, what you want physically from your slot receiver is pretty similar to what you want physically from your slot corner or vice versa. And I think the fact that he's played in there gives him some understanding of what that position is from the other side of the ball, which helps him, you know, playing on the defensive side, as it did with Troy. You know, Troy had obviously a great understanding of, you know, the slot position offensively and why a slot receiver would cut down a split, why it would widen it out, why it would stem a certain way, because that's what he did, and then he was able to, you know, flip that over, which isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. It's easy to sit here and talk about it, but it's sometimes hard to go from being, you know, thinking about techniques on one side of the ball, and now you're on the other side of the ball, and now you're thinking about them all in reverse as a defensive player. But, you know, Julian has had a good presence for that, and I think has adapted to it, you know, pretty well.
Well, how much does his experience on special teams tackling help in the secondary, his tackling ability we saw on Sunday?
Yeah, well, it's really the same thing. I mean, tackling in the open field, you know, using your leverage, you know, knowing where your help is, whether it's a defensive player inside of you or the sideline on the outside, whatever it happens to be, you're in some of those same relationships in the kicking game, no question. So tackling, I don't want to say tackling is tackling, but tackling is tackling. You know, it's leveraging the runner, knowing what you're taking away, knowing where you're light, but counting on your help from that position, whether it be a player or the sideline. And then fundamentally, you know, keeping your head up, wrapping up, you know, doing all the fundamental things you do on contact to get the guy on the ground. So, you know, there's definitely a carryover there.
Hey, Bill, along that line, Is there a chance that when you switch a player like that, that his aptitude for that new position suggests that his potential is greater at the new position going forward than it would have been coming back?
It's possible, sure. It's possible, yeah. Not to dig too deep, but, you know, that's kind of where it was with Steve Neal. You know, we started with Steve Neal, and we put him on defense. I mean, that was a brilliant coaching move. And we had him there in training camp for a couple weeks, and it kind of got worse instead of better. And then finally, when we moved him to offense, he was so far behind from never playing football, from now shifting over to offense in the middle of training camp, that it was, you know, again, impossible. And he was put in a really tough position there. But I think we saw enough that when we re-signed him at the end of the 01 season and brought him back, we felt like he would be able to develop more on the offensive side of the ball than on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, sometimes it can work out that way, you know. I don't know. It's a good question. That's a good question. He's certainly been competitive. I'll say that. He's been competitive. And I think the question with young players always is, you know, when does it start to level out? Any player at any position. And once it starts to level out, then you have to say to yourself, okay, well, is that good enough? You know, is that leveled out, you know, or small incline, you know, is that good enough? And if it is, then great, you can leave him there. And if it isn't, then, okay, well, are we going to come up short there? But now, as long as the curve is climbing, then, well, where's it going to stop? Well, I don't know. You know, is it going to stop here, you know, like how far up is it going to go? So as long as it's moving in that direction, then, and so I think you kind of have to, enough time, enough experience, enough reps to where you can try to make a decision as to whether you think that, you know, it's leveled or it's going to continue to improve. And, you know, I think we're too early in the running to know that. So we keep going until we can figure it out.
You said you don't look at or talk about a team's record, but obviously the players have heard it. You know, they know the record. They know.
They've heard me talk about it every week, saying we don't care about the record, and we don't. Like, what difference does it make? Like how somebody played 2 weeks ago against somebody else? I mean, who cares? Us or anybody else, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how we and the Colts perform against each other on Sunday. That's all that matters. So, like, who cares who won 3 weeks ago in some other game with some other players? It doesn't matter.
When you have these situations, to convince them of that, you show them a certain...
We talk about it every week. It doesn't matter. The 16 games on our schedule, they're all the same. It's our team against that team that week. And we try to learn about our opponent and scout them and pick up tendencies and strengths and weaknesses and all that. But how we match up against that team that day is all that matters. The rest of it's just a bunch of garbage. I mean, you guys can write about it all you want, but it doesn't matter. Really. The winner of this game will be decided by which team plays better on Sunday, not what happened 4 weeks ago. And this is a news story, but it's like that every week. Every week.
Bill, how do you tell you how much you guys have improved week to week when you are playing against teams that maybe aren't improving week to week?
It's simple. We judge ourselves on our performance. Go out there and things that we do well, you know, we do well. And things we don't do well, we need to improve on. So, I don't know how else to put it.
Bill, speaking of the continuity that the Colts have had on their offensive line, how's a guy like Ryan Waddell help with your stability and continuity with all that, you know, the goings and comings you've had this year with the offensive line?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan's done a good job for us. You know, through the years he's been here, and at various times he's, you know, jumped in there, whether it be in practice or preseason games or what have you. So, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Ryan. He's done a good job. He's a smart guy, when you sit and watch the film, you know, of a practice, like as a head coach, you know, you can't watch every single guy on every play. You got 22 guys out there, and you can't see them all. So usually you focus on whatever your focus is on that play, whether it's a player or a group of players or a particular aspect of the play, and you just try to, you know, you try to look at that because you can't see all of it. And there's a lot of times where you know as a coach when a certain player is out there. You know, you can just feel it. And then there's other times where you really, I guess I'd say, don't know. You know, and when that's the case, then that says a lot about the competitiveness of that player or that group of players. And I would say that's kind of the way it is with Ryan. You know, he's in there on the offensive line, like, oh, gee, he's been there for three plays. You know, it could have been Connolly in there for three plays, or it could have been Copen in there for three plays, or it could have been, you know, somebody else in there for three plays. That it's the same relative level of performance. I'm not saying all the players are the same, but, but the play looks good. You know, it's like you see it, you're looking at the receivers, you're looking at the coverage, and was well, a good pass, and who threw that? Was that Brady? Was that Hoyer? You know, I mean, Well, I'm just saying when he's, I think he plays at a very competitive level when he's had the opportunity to play, which has been limited. I mean, Dan, you know, Copen played for years without hardly ever missing a practice, let alone a game. And then this year, you know, then Dan played. And then, you know, Ryan had an opportunity, and he's had opportunities in practice. But, you know, there are other players sometimes when they get in there and it's, you know, when a snap goes over a quarterback's head or it's late or here comes some guy screaming up the middle that nobody blocks. And he kind of, you know, you see a player right in the middle of a problem repetitively, you know, you kind of get that, you know, you lose confidence. You don't feel as good about it. But with Wendell, whether it be at center or at guard for that matter, when he's been in there, and most of it's been in practice, so I know you won't see what I see, but you know, in practice settings and in the game opportunities that he's had, whether it be in preseason games or, you know, last week, it's, you know, seems to continue to function at a fairly efficient level. I'm not saying it's perfect, believe me. But, you know, you don't see a whole host of problems there.
You say going into all these games that the record doesn't matter, but you obviously can gauge your team's performance better against a team that's more competitive or has a better record, and you certainly seem more proud of yourself.
I don't agree with that, so, you know, just go ahead on your soliloquy, but I just don't agree with that. You don't think you can gauge a team based on how a player blocks Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis? I mean, who else would you gauge it against? I mean, what, are you kidding me? Recovering Reggie Wayne and Colley and Garcon, you don't think you can gauge your coverage based on those players? I don't care what their record is. Like, you don't think there's better receivers around than them, better pass rushers than Freeney and Mathis? I mean, I'm not sure what games we're watching here. Julian's been one of our hardest workers since he's been here.
I just noticed he doesn't show up in the entertainment section.
I would say Julian is consistently been one of our hardest working players. Film, practice, conditioning, treatment. When I see him, he's working. Like, he's not. I see him, he's working. Works on the field. Takes a lot of reps, stays late, stays after, does things, does extra things with Scott O'Brien. He comes in early, meets with Scott in the kicking game, goes through all the offensive stuff, now he's going through defensive stuff. But, you know, he's always been a hardworking kid.
Coach, coming along, and do you expect him to play on Sunday?
I don't know. He's doing better. He's definitely improving. So, we'll see what he can do this week. He was able to do a little bit in practice last week. We'll see whether he can do more than that this week. We haven't practiced since Friday, so, and I'm not sure exactly how much improvement he's made. We'll have to see when we get out on the field. Okay.
All right. Well, one thing I finally realized, when I was watching it at home today in the background, and I was kind of walking around doing a couple of things. I had the TV volume up, but that certainly was not Karen who asked that question. I thought it was Karen Gregan from the Herald, and She did not. That was definitely not her. So I'll try to find out who that was that phrased the question in that way. That obviously, hell hath no fury like Belichick scorn, asking a question about if you think his team is going to improve or if he can judge his team's improvement by facing an 0-11 team. Oh boy, that was a guaranteed for him. That's like, you know, that's like Rex Ryan ballistic for Bill. You know, that's what happens. But anyway, not sure who that was, but, you know, you're not the first and you won't be the last. That's for sure. Anyway, that's Bill Belichick. We'll hear from Tom Brady a little bit later on as well. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, Bill is taking this game, you know, very, very seriously, obviously. As always, he just doesn't give a damn about the records and trying to drill it into his team's head that they shouldn't either. And I'll keep bringing up Pittsburgh and Kansas City. That's just one of many you could bring up, you know, but that's more recent. If you are lackadaisical, any team can beat you on any given day. And Tyler Palka with his three interceptions almost pulled it off on Sunday night. 13-9, the Steelers won. 13-9. So. Interesting. Very, very interesting. So you can also, again, call me on the AC Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me as well. We'll read a couple when we come back. Quick break, and then more of you guys, and we'll hear from Tom Brady also coming up here on patriots.com.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hello there, back here. Last half hour here, or 20 minutes or so, with the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Again, we're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio at patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And found out that the person, the young lady who asked that that question was Kristen Leahy from Fox 25. And she used to work with me over at WEI back on the webpage back in a few years ago. So, no, I give her credit. It's a gutsy thing to say. It's a gutsy question to ask Bill Belichick. No question about it. I just know, I mean, just knowing him the way I do, when you phrase a question in that way about how he's not going to learn something by playing any team, and he doesn't care what the record is, he's going to be all over you. But, you know, you live and learn. That's the way it is. And it was actually a very similar question asked before that by somebody else that Bill did not really go off on too much. I think it's the fact that, unfortunately, Kristen asked a second time within about 5 minutes the same type of question. I think he just, you know, he's the kind of coach that it doesn't matter who he's playing at any given time. If his players are on the field against any particular team, he's going to learn and evaluate constantly. That's why he's so good. And I hope people don't start coming out and saying about how nasty. That's the problem. He'll get, and this is what happens in the media. You know, he'll come out and he'll be a bit abrasive at times. And now he's an a-hole, you know, where if Rex Ryan does it, it's cute, you know, and funny, and oh, is Rex being Rex, and isn't that great? But Bill does it, and people will have an overreaction. Mark my words, some dumbass media person will write some ridiculous column about it tomorrow saying it was unnecessary and uncalled for. Guaranteed. But, hey, that's the way it goes. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And certainly I've been in here with Bill and Glenn, Steve, and Fred, and there have been several times the questions have come up we've asked in certain situations, and man, oh man, There is nothing worse than getting that stare from that man, especially when he's 5 feet away from you, sitting across the room. I mean, there's some great stuff. But always enjoyed Bill on Mondays with us when I was on EEI. It was great, and he did open up, I thought, a lot more. And you know, when you're talking football with him, it's such a difference. And if you look at the line of questioning when you're talking football instead of, you know, records and you know, silly stuff like that. I mean, it's so obvious to me when you start bringing up obvious things, you know, records and you know, 0-11 team. He doesn't want to hear it, nor should he. And I guess you have to ask those kind of questions. I guess you do, but why not talk about specific players and matchups as opposed to records versus your record versus their record? Because you know you're going to get kicked in your ass or stepped on. It doesn't make any sense to me. And to me, when people say, well, you have to ask the question. Well, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I don't know. I can tell you this. And it's not, it has anything to do with being gutsy or anything like that. It's because I know the man a little bit. I just know I wouldn't say to him, I wouldn't phrase it in this way. And that's all I'm saying, Kristen. I wouldn't phrase it in this way. How can you evaluate your team when you're playing an 0-11 team? That, and it's not just Bill Belichick. I guarantee if you were covering Notre Dame, if you were covering Dallas back when Jimmy Johnson was there or Lou Holtz, I guarantee any coach who hears a question phrased in that kind of a way is going to be upset. Because it's kind of like a slap in the face of, because any coach will tell you, if they're worth a damn, is going to tell you, we are always evaluating, no matter who is out there and who they're playing. Records aside, they don't care about records. That's all. Just experience. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it was a right or wrong thing to do. I'm saying it's something that you live and learn with in the NFL. You start bringing up records and evaluations, you know, that doesn't go over well with a lot of coaches. It certainly won't go over well with this one. I can tell you that. But that's just my opinion. And, you know, I've certainly, you know, had, I've just been around them a lot. Just experience. That's all it is. But people want to say, like, it's a gutsy thing to do to ask him something like that. I mean, I don't know if gutsy is the word. I think some of it's inexperience sometimes. You live and learn. Like I said, I just don't think if you're around Lou Holtz back in Notre Dame days, if you're around, you know, Jimmy Johnson at Dallas, if you're around, you know, Joe Walsh, they're just certain players and certain coaches. If you start bringing up records versus talent evaluate, how you're going to evaluate your team, I mean, it's like saying, oh, you're not going to learn deadly squat because you're playing the Colts, they're 0-11. Well, pff, you know, okay, yeah, they're 0-11, but they, you know, they could have beaten Pittsburgh. They could have beaten Tampa Bay. They still have, Bill's right when he's, they still have players out there. And I guarantee you, I mean, you watch this week and I promise you it'll come up. And this is why I agree with Bill 100% here talking about, of course you're going to evaluate players. If you think blocking Dwight Freeney is easy, and Matt Light's done a pretty good job over the years of it. I mean, and the problem is with Matt Light, as usual, is that people remember two or three plays that the guy might get by and forget about the other 58 where he was blocked. That's a big part. But if you think you can't evaluate a team when Dwight Freeney's rushing the passer, or Mathis on the other side, you know, Bethea coming up, I mean, those, you're crazy. Bill's right. He's 100% right. Those are three really good players, and Freeney's one of the best. So that's why I think sometimes you have to really understand the team you're playing, the personnel that's out there, and despite record aside, don't get caught up in that stuff. Because there are some talent on that Indianapolis Colts team. Now, it's unfortunate that their quarterback play has been so lousy for the most part. And their defense hasn't been, you know, has been lousy also. I mean, there's no question about it. But I think their defense has been really a victim of their inept offense in a lot of cases. Their offense has put their defense in bad situations with horrible turnovers, bad field position. So, just one man's opinion due to experience, that's all. We got Tom Brady queued up here. Tom Brady also had an interesting press conference today. So here's the Patriot quarterback.
A million, you know, sort of classic showdowns. We asked you about this when Castle wasn't there, but are you disappointed not to kind of be going into this week and seeing him on the other sidelines?
Well, I mean, it's still a team that has a lot of good players on it, so, you know, we prepare this week like we prepare every week, you know, no matter who's out there, so. Obviously, you know, he's one of the greatest players to ever play. So hopefully he'll be here to say hi. He's a friend of mine.
Do you guys still talk or communicate kind of?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you don't mind not playing against them, but do you miss him? Does the league miss a guy like that?
No. I don't know.
Tom, you talk about their defense. Obviously, people talk about Manning, but just what you've seen from them defensively so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got some players that can really play. I mean, I played Dwight Freeney a bunch. I wish he was out this week, but he's in there again. He's a phenomenal player. I you know, if I could be a defensive end, I'd be like him. And Robert Mathis on the other side. Both those guys can really wreak havoc. I mean, they strip sacks, and Coach said this morning, I think Freeney's got like 99 career sacks and 43 forced fumbles, so almost half the time that he sacks you, he strips the ball from you, and he's a great player, and so they got Gerard Powers. I really like the way he plays. I think they have some very good defensive players. You know, when you're having a season like they're having, obviously no one wants to be in that situation, but I'll tell you this, they play hard. They have a lot of pride. You know, they've been in a lot of close games. They haven't won them, but, you know, they're in them. And, you know, we got to go out there and we got to try to go out there and play really well, play more consistent. You know, kind of like we did last week, we played more consistent than we had the previous week, and we got to go out there and try to play very consistent this week, too.
Tom, we're about to hit December. Are you a believer that this is when the good teams really start to establish themselves? And if so, what does that do going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had quite a few, you know, games to see the kind of team that we're at, the kind of team we are, the kind of place where we're at, the things we need to improve on. You know, you kind of have 11 games now of evidence, and you really start becoming the team that you are. And, you know, I think we've, you know, 8-3. I mean, has it been everything perfect? No, but, you know, we got to go out there this week and try to get to 9-3. And it's a, you know, and any week in the NFL is a tough week. And you know, this team, obviously, with the threats they have offensively, the threats they have defensively, they can change the game in one play. And, so we got to go out there and try to get a win.
Are you a believer in building momentum down the stretch toward the end of the year?
Well,
traditionally, December's been a great month for this team, traditionally.
Yeah.
Are you a believer in that?
Well, I think, you know, Coach Belichick has always stressed that the best teams get better this time of year. I mean, I think that's the kind of team that you want to be. You want to be a good finisher. And if you play poorly down the stretch, you're not going to give yourself much of a chance to accomplish any of the goals that you set out at the beginning of the year. So you can put yourself in a decent position, and we're in a decent position, but, you know, Coach always says 8 wins doesn't get you anything in this league, and we got to try to get our 9th.
Tom, given the array of talent they have on both sides, still even without Peyton Manning,
yeah.
Does it still astonish you that they're winless at this point of the season?
I mean, it's hard. I think sometimes we take for granted winning here, you know, because we've done that. But it's hard to win an NFL game. I mean, every team has talent. Every team can only spend to the cap. I mean, you can't spend over it. And the draft and the way that's built. So it's hard to win games. It really is. And you never want to see a team, you know, have that kind of season, because you know how miserable you are when we lose 2 in a row. So, you know, but at the same time, our job is to go out there and perform as well as we can against them this week, and that's what we plan to do. We're trying to go out there, and, you know, we don't take anything for granted. You know, the record when the ball's kicked off, everything, you know, it doesn't matter what their record is. It doesn't matter what our record is. The team that's going to win is the team that plays the best that day. And I think that's the approach that we took last week, and that's the approach that we need to take this week and the approach that we're going to take.
Because they're winless, that they have nothing to lose at this point, that they can play with whatever abandon they want to, or are they at a tipping point where maybe a touchdown to, you know, really puts them in a situation where they get down on themselves?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure their attitude, or, you know, I know that we have to go out there and we have to play well, and trying to block Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis and the inside guys. I got some young athletic linebackers, some guys in the secondary who can make Antoine Bethea. Like, I played a lot of free safeties, and he's one of the better ones that we play. So you can't go in there and go, oh, you know, we're the Patriots, Colts, you know, yeah, we're going to win this game and move on. It's not the way we approach it. And that's not the way it works, not in the NFL.
Hey, Tom, they changed their defensive coordinator yesterday. Would it be your expectation to see what you've been seeing from them, or just a new guy coming in would normally just make changes for the sake of making changes? What's your expectation on that?
Well, you know, we'll prepare, obviously, for all the things that they've done this year, and see how the game goes, and then try to adjust. If there's different things, there's different things. And I'm sure there'll be a few different things. It's different style of a coordinator, but you know, I don't think it's going to be radically different. So I think we'll prepare for what they've done all season.
So off your previous point, why is it so hard for people to understand how difficult it is to win in the league? You get people, like you say, who think, all right, Patriots, 0-11 Colts, that's a W, chalk it up. I mean, we saw Coach Belichick get pretty animated about it. Why is it so hard for people to understand that?
Because you guys don't play. Because you don't have to drop back and try to find the open guy with, you know, two guys breathing down your throat. So you don't have to cover you know, Austin Collie and Pierre Garçon and Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark and tackle those guys. They're damn good football players, and they've proven that year after year against us. So, you know, I got a ton of respect for the Colts and the way that they play. You know, like someone said earlier, we've had some great games against them, and you know, we go out expecting it to be, you know, to get their best, and their best has been, you know, very, very close at times this year. You know, they played Pittsburgh very well. So when you see them play a team like Pittsburgh well and actually playing better than we played them, then you understand that they can certainly beat us if we don't go out and play well, and if, you know, if we allow them to do the things they want to do.
Very, very interesting. Very well said. Patriot quarterback Tom Brady, and it's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, and think about that for a second. The Indianapolis Colts played Pittsburgh tougher than the Patriots did, to a degree. They had a chance to win that game. Kansas City had a chance to beat the Steelers, too, but they didn't. And the Patriots lost. So that just goes to show you that, and I know Indy was home that day against Pittsburgh, I believe, but you cannot take anybody for granted at all. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Last couple of minutes here for a Wednesday show. Pete says, Sterling, I guess the evaluate question to Belichick is a learning experience. 0-7 means nothing. If anything, it's about the reps and key positions, third downs, improved open man coverage, etc. by players. I wouldn't have asked that question knowing how detailed Belichick is. That question is for someone like Mike Tice or Andy Reid. Duh. Yeah, I mean, it's it is what it is, you know. It's not a question I would have asked. I would have certainly not framed it that way, but whatever. You know, you live and learn. There's a lot of young kids out there still, you know, that are in this locker room for the first time, some of them, and when you go up against arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time, you better know your crap. You better know what you're talking about. You better know who's on the other side of that football on defense when you're trying to say about evaluating, and because I know she didn't mean it to sound condescending, but that's how it came off. And he's not going to tolerate it, and most coaches wouldn't, and they don't really care. Male, female, how old you are, doesn't matter. And if those of you remember, I certainly remember they used to play on EEI all the time, and when Pat Burns, God rest his soul, when I was covering the Bruins all the time, and Pat was terrific. But it is definitely, you know, myself and about, you know, seven or eight other people were ones that were at morning skates a lot, And, you know, they're around the team. Even though I wasn't on road games, he certainly knew who I was and was around and was at every game. And it does make a difference. And you have to know your stuff. You have to know your stuff with Pat. And there was one time this kid, and you probably heard that bit all the time on EEI, his name was Lon, and he was working as an intern for Steve Buckley when he was back at New England Cable News. And Lon sat in the front row, and I can't even remember the whole scenario, how it unfolded, but he was an intern from Emerson, and he says to Pat, he asks some ridiculous question, which we've all been there and all been humiliated by coaches at one point or another. Anyone who tells you they haven't is lying, or a player, whatever. But this was, you know, I could tell he was sitting in the front, and there was like 55 media people in there, and they had just lost a tough game, 3-2 to the LA Kings in overtime. And this kid asked this question. This kid Lon from Emerson asked this question, and he basically answered it like 5 minutes earlier. And I'm telling you, in the front was myself, Felger at the time when he was covering the Bruins, Nancy Merapies, and my buddy Mick Collage, a few other ones that were there all the time. Some of those guys, Felger isn't, but the other, you know, Nancy's still there a lot. And he said to this kid, "Well, who are you?" And he goes, he goes, "Where you been?" He said, and the kid panicked. He's like, "I'm Lon from Emerson." He goes, "What?" Pat said, "What? He goes, you send a report to Edmonton?" And he goes, "No, I'm Lon something from, Emerson and blah, blah, blah." And I know what it was. He asked him what percentage Pat, should take for the loss. And that's what he asked him. He asked Pat Burns what percentage he should take for the loss. And Pat says, he really laid into him for a couple. He said, "You know what? Just give me a percentage. Make it up. Just give me a percentage." And on we went. But, trust me, it was beautiful. It was Pat at his best. And that was nothing. Trust me, nothing compared to the stuff that he and Felger used to get into. It was freaking priceless back in the day. Love Pat Burns, God rest his soul. Anyway, that's going to do it for another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. And tomorrow, coming up on the show, of course, B-Low will be here, Brian Lowe, in the first hour with the Patriot Fantasy Football Lowdown. Then Tom James, the cult beat writer from the Terre Haute Tribune, will join us at 5:30. We'll get some more insight from him and maybe have some results back from Peyton Manning, who was getting additional scans done today concerning a fusion of his neck vertebrae. Completed, and see what the next step of his rehab process will be. So we will talk to Tom James, the Colts beat writer from the Terre Haute Tribune, in the 5:30 hour. I want to thank all the emailers and callers and the Facebook messages as well. And again, if you want to check out that kid from Philadelphia going off on Tom Brady, the little boy, it's hysterical. It's on my Facebook page, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. I want to thank Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. Also want to remind everybody, tonight, you guys all know what a poker buff I am. Tonight, another big charity tournament, Wednesday, weekly deep stack. $25 satellites at 6 o'clock, $90 main event at 7:15. It's basically 20,000 chips for $100, kids. You can't do any better than that with a pretty good blind structure. First 20 players play a satellite for free, just one per player. It's at the American Legion Post 18155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham, right behind the Tahiti Lounge, across from the VFW. Hope to see all of you there. It's usually at least 5 or 6 tables. Great food, great drinks, and Craig Bradford and his helping hand staff do a great job. It is the best charity-run poker tournaments run in New England by far. There isn't even a second choice, so hope to see you guys there. I'll be back tomorrow here on Patriots.com at 4 o'clock. See ya!